Hello, this is Dr. Hyla Kass, and today we'll be mapping mental health and cannabis on the 15-Minute Matrix.
Welcome to the 15-Minute Matrix. I'm Andrea Nakayama, functional medicine nutritionist and your host. This is the podcast that brings you bite-sized insights and lessons on how to use the most important tool in functional medicine and functional nutrition. Today on the 15-Minute Matrix, I'll be speaking with Dr. Hyla Kass. Dr. Kass is a physician, psychiatrist, speaker, and frequently quoted expert in the area of natural approaches to mental and physical health. She combines the best of leading-edge natural medicine with the modern science in her clinical practice, writings, lectures, and nationwide media appearances, and in various local and national publications. She helps individuals withdraw from psychiatric medications and substances of abuse or to avoid medication altogether through the use of specific natural supplements. Dr. Kass is the author of several popular books, including Natural Highs, 8 Weeks to Vibrant Health, The Amazing Itty Bitty Guide to Cannabis, and The Addicted Brain and How to Break Free. Please take note that the audio of this episode may be a little bit choppy, but stick with it as the information is critical. Let's dive in. Dr. Kass, I'm so excited to have you here on the 15-Minute Matrix. Welcome.
I'm so happy to be here. It's always fun to talk to you and your audience.
It is always fun to have you with us, Dr. Kass. You really do speak our language, and you are so committed to the differences that diet and lifestyle modification can make in mental wellness. So today we're talking about our particular issue in relation to mental health, and that's cannabis. Before we get started, can we talk about the difference between cannabis and marijuana?
It's better to say what's the difference between CBD and marijuana, because they're both from the cannabis plant. And even though they've been bred somewhat differently, you know, the hemp plant, which is also cannabis sativa, is grown to be a different looking plant and not have flowers. The flowering tops of the ones that are bred for marijuana are separate. But all you really have to know is that CBD can be purchased in most states, and if it has up to 0.3% THC, it's legal. Otherwise, it's classified as marijuana, and it has to be bought in a dispensary. So we generally refer to marijuana as the product that contains more than 0.3% THC and needs to be purchased from a dispensary.
So just to take that one step further so all clinicians understand, the THC is where we're going to get most of the psychotropic effects, whereas the CBD is being shown to have more medicinal properties. Is that a right way of saying it, or how would you classify that?
Earlier research was always on THC-containing cannabis. So a lot of properties were attributed to the whole marijuana, including THC, when actually the CBD was doing most of the work. Now, adding in some THC is helpful in certain conditions such as cancer and some others, where you want to have a little THC. But for the most part, the CBD will carry the medicinal properties. And I'm a psychiatrist, so I'm really using it for anxiety, depression, even seizure disorders, dementia, psychosis. It's quite remarkable. There have been some studies on using it for psychosis or schizophrenia, and it compares well to, compared head-to-head with the antipsychotics, except without the really difficult side effects of these medications. So it's been a really great addition to my armamentarium.
If we're to look at this with those conditions that you talked about in relation to what I call the story section of the functional nutrition matrix, so the antecedents, the triggers, and the mediators, in particular, are there specific antecedents, genetic factors, or triggering events in one's life that might predispose them to needing CBD to fulfill something that's like a deficiency in the body?
Perfect question, yes. Genetic predisposition, stress, the use of different medications, the use of drugs such as high THC marijuana. And it's an interesting thing because when they've measured the endocannabinoid system, because that's what it's doing, CBD is actually enhancing low endocannabinoid system. It's bringing it up. And the endocannabinoid system is a homeostatic mechanism that goes through the entire body and communicates. So it communicates with hormones, neurotransmitters, blood sugar. Everything in the body has receptor. All the cells have receptors that are part of the endocannabinoid system. So you don't need to have the THC. Now, a lot of people don't like THC. They don't like the feeling of getting high. And the marijuana that's been bred has been bred for a high THC content. And that has actually been problematic because in the past, the CBD mitigated the THC. They balanced each other because they both go to the same receptors. But since it's been bred for such high THC, we've been seeing some real problems that people are having with anxiety, paranoia, even psychosis. And I'm not saying, hey, don't smoke dope, you're going to go crazy. But I am saying that a lot of young people, particularly, even with minimal use, have unmasked, they probably unmasked a low endocannabinoid system. And because there was no CBD or very little CBD in the product to neutralize that high effect of the THC, they really go overboard and it's a problem. And the good news is that you can actually mitigate all this by giving them CBD and they come down from their psychosis, their paranoia, their agitation.
It's so interesting to think into this through other balancing mechanisms we know, let's say progesterone and estrogens or omega-6s to omega-3s. It sounds like if somebody's consuming too much THC over a period of time, they actually induce an imbalance or a deficiency in the endocannabinoid system that can be regulated with the CBD, which is the balancing agent. Is that correct?
Yes. It's not just CBD. It is the cannabinoids in the plant. There are many cannabinoids, probably over 100, and many, many terpenes, and all the medicinal effects. And so when you use the whole plant, you get what's called the entourage effect or the synergistic effect of all of the components because that's how nature works. And if you remove the THC, then you have a THC-free, full entourage, full impact cannabinoid terpene product. And that's where you get the most bang for your buck.
I think this conversation is so important for clinicians, especially because there's so many misperceptions around the use of medical marijuana. And when you're talking about it scientifically like this, and we can put it in the context of other systems of balance that we know, it really does help us to understand it better. And there's a couple things that I wanted to ask you to speak into. So one of the terms you used were terpenes.
Yeah, terpenes are very important. They're in a lot of they're all products, and they provide, that's what the smell is. You know how there's different smells from different THC products. And the terpenes such as limonene, alpha-pinene, linalool, beta-carophyllene, which is one of the major terpenes, which also acts the same as CBD, are very important in the whole effect of this whole entourage. It has all kinds of psychological and effects on pain. They're just as important, I think, as the cannabinoids. Mm-hmm. So that's why the whole plant is so important. And we're just learning. We're just learning about all of this. And there's a great deal of research that's been done in the past few years. I mean, it's just been in 1993, there were 10 citations on endocannabinoids. In 2017, there were nearly 8,300 citations and growing rapidly.
Amazing. Yeah. If we think about the endocannabinoids in the body, so we're thinking physiologically sort of at the receptor level, is there anything you can illuminate for us there? Are there specific cells or systems that are particularly impacted by the cannabinoids?
The CB1 and CB2 receptors. The CB1 receptors are largely in the brain and nervous system. CB2 receptors are mainly in the periphery, in the organs and blood. So the different effects are corresponding. For example, the ones in the nervous system will handle things like balance, relaxation, motor function, memory, reward mechanism. That's the nucleus accumbens. So, and the CB two receptors affect immunity, inflammation, affects the B cells and T cells, it affects the liver, spleen, tonsils. The enteric nervous system is full of CB2 receptors. So this can explain some of the gut-brain connection.
Mm-hmm.
It's a communication system throughout the body, and one that we had no idea about.
Right. It makes it so fascinating for us to really look at where we can be using these agents more clinically. So you mentioned earlier some of the different conditions where cannabis has been used as a positive mediator in treatment of mental health disorders. Can you bring us into that a little bit more? Maybe talking to the things that we all see in our practice, like depression and anxiety.
I had a young man recently who was brought in by his mother reluctantly, didn't want to see me, didn't think supplements were going to work, had turned down meds, they would work either, and was pretty belligerent and unhappy and uncommunicative. What happened was I gave him, this is interesting, I said, would you be willing to try some CBD? I have a hemp oil, and it's interchangeable hemp oil extract. This is not like hemp oil, like regular hemp oil that you buy. Hemp oil extract is kind of code word for CBD, and some of us will use that on our products just because CBD is still Schedule 1,
right,
according to the FDA. I said, would you be willing to try some hemp oil extract? It's CBD. He said, yeah, okay. So I took two droppers, which was the equivalent of milligrams, and then I continued talking to his mother, and 10 minutes later, I checked in with him, and I said, so how are you feeling? And he looked at me, and he said, whoa, I really feel good. I feel the best I have felt in a really long time. This is amazing. Now, that wasn't the end of the story, because the fact that he had anxiety, he actually had some other conditions. He had some Hashimoto's going on. He had some gut stuff going on, which we had to treat. But for the initial connection, it was amazing. And it has helped. It helped him to sleep. So it's a symptom reliever, but it's raising the endocannabinoids throughout his body and doing a lot of really good things, giving side benefits rather than side effects, as the medications do.
It's so interesting, because I'm always telling clinicians that there isn't a quick fix. But what you're talking about here is, even though there were further underlying issues, that there were some initial benefits that allowed for the ease of the symptoms that would enable him to make that connection with you, trust you, and go into a deeper relationship.
And I use it for getting people off medication. That's one of my sort of claims to fame, is I'm one of the few psychiatrists that actually helps people get off of meds rather than putting them on meds. And again, it's been amazing. I just did this with an 87-year-old woman, and she did it fairly quickly, too. It speeds it up, and she actually got her brain back. They were going to put her in a home because she was, you know, at 87, and she wasn't doing well, but she was on a lot of psych medications. So when she was weaned off them, and she was weaned off in 2 weeks, which is faster than I would have done, but that's what her family did. I think they misunderstood what I meant. But the CBD totally brought her back. Now, getting off the meds helped, but this helped her get off the meds. And then it helped her brain actually, it helps your brain grow new connections, which isn't supposed to happen in
right.
dementia, but it really does. So she's back. She's doing great. She's
That's
happy.
Amazing.
She remembers things. She is feisty. These are a few of many examples in my practice.
Before I let you go, Dr. Cass, I definitely want to talk about the how-to of this, and if you see people making mistakes with it as well. So you talked a little bit about the oil. Is that your preferred mechanism of delivery? And are you seeing people with the new information that's coming out using CBD incorrectly? Are there any warnings that we as clinicians should be aware of?
It's one of the safer products. It's metabolized by the P450 enzyme system. And you'll want to just, if whatever drug they're on, you're going to want to see if it's also metabolized by the same P450 system. And if so, then you take them separately, and it may make the drug more or less active. So you just have to know that that's what's happening. It doesn't influence me a whole lot, because you can just tell by how they're responding. The response is pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Now, it builds up, say, over a week, but it has a long half-life, 24 to 36 hours, and it can come on quite rapidly. So people have a sense of, hey, this stuff works. And it doesn't get you high, but it does bring a sense of calm. And actually, it can also make you more alert, because if your anxiety is making you unable to concentrate, you know, you can't focus. So it helps you to focus, feel calm, and more in control.
Nice. So you're not seeing any incorrect uses then of the CBD. You're seeing good results clinically. There's no big warning signs anybody should be worried about, because I know people might feel funny recommending it or having clients or patients coming in who are utilizing it. You feel it's safe usually across the board, except where medications might be involved.
Yeah. As long as it's a good product, you want to be able to have access to a certificate of analysis. You can always ask the company. I know with my own, I certainly have a certificate of analysis. I wouldn't go without, which says what's in it, what are the different cannabinoids and terpenes, what's not in it. You want to make sure there's no THC unless you want the 0.3%. I prefer not having it. Some people are very sensitive to it. And who knows, it could show up on a drug test and they're still there. They're still drug testing for THC. So
interesting.
So that's another issue.
We'll be sure to link, Dr. Cass, to all of your materials in the show notes so people can learn more, read your books, get access to your oils. But thank you so much. Is there any final thoughts you have that you want to share with the clinicians here about CBD and mental health?
Sure. I mean, it sounds like a panacea, and people are going to say, oh, well, it's placebo effect. But we give it to kids. We give it to animals. I don't think there's a placebo effect there. And I know when I first heard about it, I thought, oh, it's just an excuse to get high, because I associated it with marijuana just like everyone else did. Then I began to really learn about it and look at the research, use it with patients, and I was totally a convert. I mean, I love it. It's my best new tool of this year. It's amazing. And try it. You'll like it.
Thank you so much, Dr. Cass. I really appreciate your time.
I always appreciate talking to you too. Thank you for the opportunity.
The 15-Minute Matrix is brought to you by me, Andrea Nakayama, and the Functional Nutrition Alliance. The 15-Minute Matrix team includes my son, Gilbert Nakayama, on sound production, Renee Hunt, Natalie Merrill, and Christine Shook. You can visit us and hear more episodes at 15minutematrix.com. And if you'd like to be notified each time there is a new podcast episode, please go to 15minutematrix.com/notify. We'll be sure to drop into your inbox with a really short reminder that a new episode is ready for you. You have an invitation to email us anytime, day or night. We want to know who you'd like to hear on the podcast and what you'd like to see mapped on the 15-Minute Matrix. We'd also love to hear your feedback. You can email us at ask@15minutematrix.com.